Sometimes experience can help you better understand a certain passage. And I think this morning I understand better the passage there in Matthew 18, where the disciples came to Jesus and asked him the question, well, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he brought a child to him, and he set that child in the midst of them, and he said, unless you turn and become like children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. I taught a children's class this morning, and I think I understand what Jesus means there just a little bit more. I know I have taught that age group sometime in the past, but it's been so long that if you pin me down for the exact year or even close to the year, I probably couldn't do that. It's been a long time, but I thoroughly enjoyed teaching those young people, and the humble attitude, the graciousness that they show toward the teacher, you know, and all that is just very encouraging. Some good kids and evidently some parents doing some good things and helping them get ready for those classes. I want to go ahead and tell you, not that this is the first time that I've ever repeated a lesson or anything like that, but I went back and looked, and it was about 2.5 years ago that I last preached this lesson. But I'm going to preach it again this morning, and the reason for doing so is that these are some things that we need to be reminded of, and I also think that these are some things that really need to be instilled in all of our young people. They won't necessarily always be right here with us. They may move on, and it's important that they be grounded in these things. Togetherness was something that was very evident among the early Christians. And you can see that if you've read through the book of Acts. You see the togetherness that they exhibited, right? In fact, the book of Acts describes them as being together, of one accord, of one heart and one soul. We're not going to take the time to read through all of these passages, but the point there is gleaned from all of the passages that you see there. You see various ways that this togetherness or this fellowship with one another is described. But one of the things that I believe it's important for us to keep in mind is that this togetherness or this fellowship they had with one another grew out of their fellowship with the Father and with the Son. You may remember the prayer of Jesus not too long before he was crucified, there at the end of John chapter 17. And we call that the prayer for unity, and that's exactly what it is. He prayed that all those who would believe on him would be united. But if you remember, the wording was that they may be one in us. That they may be one in us. And so the fellowship, the unity that you see in brethren, really should be based on their unity with the Lord, or their fellowship with the Lord. And so this morning we're going to be talking about togetherness in the Lord. In fact, you'll hear that word, see that word, togetherness, many times as we go through this lesson, because that's really going to be the point of emphasis throughout. And we're going to talk about togetherness in the Lord, especially as it relates to attendance, or in coming together to worship the Lord. That's going to be the primary application that we're going to make. But before we get to that, I believe there's some important groundwork for us to lay. I want us to first of all consider God's marvelous plan. Actually, this is in the wrong order. Sorry about that. God's marvelous plan includes this provision from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10. Together in one, all things in Christ. Now, I understand that his ultimate plan was to save us from our sins and to lead us to eternal life. But this is how his eternal plan is expressed in this passage. To gather together in one all things in Christ. Well, let's think about what that includes, or who that includes specifically. It includes people of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Not just people, but the saved of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, according to the language used there in Revelation 5 in verse 10. And so it includes the saved all over the world. In nations that we have never visited before. We don't know anybody there personally, but it includes the saved everywhere. But it also includes the spirits of just men made perfect, as is expressed in Hebrews 12 and verse 23. That is, saints who have died in the Lord. It includes them too. In other words, those men and women that we read about in the New Testament, the faithful men and women that we admire so much, they're part of this great body as well. And so, what a wonderful blessing to be gathered together with all of these saints in one spiritual body. All the saints everywhere, including those who have died in the Lord, are all gathered together in this one body. That's a wonderful fellowship, isn't it? And I know in our recent gospel meeting with Brother Bill Hall, we talked quite a bit about that. But God's plan for togetherness goes beyond the togetherness in this one body. There is no possible way for all of the saints of this one body to be gathered in one physical location. Can't do it. It goes beyond this togetherness in the one body. Look with me in Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 6. Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 6. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. Now again, we are gathered together with all the saints everywhere, including those who have gone on to their reward. But not gathered together in the sense that it's expressed here in Acts 20, verses 6 through 8. This is talking about saints in a particular location. This is talking about the brethren of a local church there in Troas coming together. And so this togetherness is a little bit different than what we described earlier. Let's look also in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 23. Let's notice what is said about a particular local church, the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 23. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? The whole church comes together in one place. Now, if we're thinking about the one church, the one body, the universal church, as we sometimes describe it, we can't come together in one place, can we? Again, this is talking about brethren there in Corinth, the members of this local church coming together in one location. Well, having said that, I hope we do understand that even when we're not physically gathered together, we're still together. In other words, there's a sense in which tomorrow, Monday, all of us will still be together. Or at least we should be. Look at some phrases that are used throughout the New Testament. Joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That should be true on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and whenever, just as well as it is here today. Joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, Ephesians 4:16. With one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, Philippians 1 and verse 27. I hope we're still doing that when we leave here today. Or when we leave here tonight, I hope we're still, or that can still be true of us. Knit together in love. Colossians 2 and verse 2. You see that word together? It appears quite frequently, doesn't it, in the New Testament. And so we're together even when we're not together. We might express it this way. We are together in heart, in purpose, and in conviction. Or at least we ought to be, even when we are not physically gathered together. When I think about the togetherness that is expressed in these passages, people who are this together should look forward to the times when they can actually be together in the same location. If we're together in the sense described in all of those passages, in heart, in purpose, and in conviction, then we ought to actually look forward to actually being in the same place with one another. And isn't it great when the whole church, remember our reading from 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 23 earlier, isn't it great when the whole church, that is every member, comes together? We have to look at our service to the Lord in two different ways. There are so many things that we do individually throughout the week. We have individual obligations to the Lord, and obviously those are addressed throughout the New Testament. But we also have some collective responsibilities. We have some responsibilities that involve the things that we do together with other Christians. And so I believe it's helpful. And I believe this reflects the biblical teaching as well. I think it's helpful to think about a local church being a team of saints. We're not just individuals scattered out doing our own thing. A local church is a team of saints who work and worship together. Now, how many of the members do we need to make this thing work the way the Lord intends for it to work? How many do we need? 75% would be great, wouldn't it? And too many times, that's about how it turns out. Maybe even less than that. But for this thing to work the way the Lord intends for it to work, who all do we need? We need every single member to make this work. Imagine someone that's on a sports team, an athletic team. He's picked to be on a certain team, and he goes to the coach and he says, "You know, I'm really glad to be a part of this team, but I tell you what, whenever we practice as a team or whenever we play as a team, I won't be there. I'll do some things at home, or I'll maybe get together with some others, but you know, I won't be involved in any of the team activities." I think the coach would be well within his rights to say, "Well, now, wait a minute. If you are a part of this team, whenever we have team activities, you need to be a part of that." Now, we would understand it, certainly in that realm, would we not? And especially that needs to be true when we're talking about this important fellowship we have together in a local church. And so the question becomes, are you part of the team? Are apart from the team. We need to make sure that the first is true, that we are actually part of the team. Now, what would you say about worship? Our coming together for worship. Is that a team activity? Is that something we do together? Absolutely, that is the case. And so, what we're going to do in the remainder of this lesson, we're going to talk about the need to be there together with our other brethren when we worship. And we're going to identify really five different reasons why that's the case, or why that should be the case. And so we're just going to kind of go through and look at each one of them. First of all, on the first day of the week, we can sing and pray together, study together, eat the Lord's Supper together, and give to the Lord while we reflect together on how much He has given us. Now again, going back to what we said a few minutes ago, there are many, many things we do individually in our service to the Lord, and those are vitally important. But this is a day when we come together to do some very important things, and these are the kind of things that we can only do together. And so I need to be there together with the others. Now, oftentimes the question is asked concerning, well, okay, you know, I get that about being there on the first day of the week for the worship and so forth. What about those Bible classes that we have maybe before the Sunday morning services, the ones we have on Wednesday night? And what about those other periods of worship, like the Sunday night worship? But sure, you're not suggesting that we ought to be at those as well. Well, let's ask this question. Think of it in this way. Who has the better argument? Who has the better argument? One who argues that we really need to be involved in all of these team activities, or the one who says, you know, it's okay to miss those? Which one do you think, considering all of biblical teaching, all of New Testament teaching, and even the approach that we're taking this morning, considering all of that, who has the better argument? I always like to sometimes take it back to a time when a local church is first established. If you have a group of Christians in a particular area, and maybe there's been some new converts in a particular area, and maybe there's not a church for miles around, they say, well, you know what? We need to gather together to worship. We need to get this thing started. And so obviously there are going to be discussions about, okay, well, when are we going to meet? You know, they know they've got to meet on the first day of the week, but what about Bible classes, other opportunities for study? You know, what about other periods of worship? What are we going to do? And so they get together and say, well, here's our plan. Here's how often that we're going to meet. Everybody in on that? Yeah, that sounds good. And so, if we think of it from that standpoint, I mean, when I become part of a team, am I not saying that I want to be involved in all of the team activities, whenever those might be? Now, obviously, things come up that are beyond our control, but we're not talking about things beyond our control. We're talking about things that we can control. Should we be there for all those things? These are team activities. Let me give you an example. Acts 14 and verse 27. Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas have just returned from their first preaching journey. And I can't say for sure when this was. It could have been something that was done on the first day of the week in addition to their other activities. It could have been any other day of the week. I'm not sure. It doesn't specify. But in Acts 14, verse 27, now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Again, I don't know exactly when this was done, but now this is kind of an additional thing, isn't it? This is kind of an extra opportunity, right? Paul and Barnabas are given a report of this preaching journey that they've just been on. My question is, would I have felt the need to be present for this? Was this a team activity? Absolutely. The church there sent Paul and Barnabas on this journey. They were together in the sending out of him. They were supportive of these brethren as they went out for this. And so, wouldn't they want to hear everything that was said concerning them? And so hopefully that illustrates, yes, there are going to be additional things, but again, the importance of being involved in all of the team activities that we have. Another reason why it's so important for us to be here, to be together with others, is that occasions like these actually draw us closer together. I understand that worship is first and foremost directed to the Lord, okay? But the kind of things that we do in our worship, I want you to think with me about this. The spiritual activities in which we engage together foster a greater unity. And I believe that's taught throughout the New Testament. But now, I want you to think with me about a couple of songs that we sing that reflect exactly what we're talking about here. In the song, The Lord's Supper, you have this line. When we meet in sweet communion, where the feast divine is spread, hearts are brought in closer union while partaking of the bread. Is that true? I believe it is absolutely true. We come even closer together. Now, earlier we talked about how we're together in that we're knit together in love, we're together in heart and purpose and conviction. Now that's the ideal. That's the ideal. And I want you to answer this honestly right now. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Completely? Think back to those passages we mentioned earlier, that togetherness that you see there. Are we there yet? In other words, is there room for improvement? Is there room for improvement? Can we be brought even closer together? Yes, absolutely. And these occasions do exactly that. Not just the being present together, but even the activities in which we engage. In the song, True Worship, may we all in spirit, all with one accord, take this cup of blessing given by the Lord. So, again, the things we do together actually draw us closer together. But here's something else to consider. It's a great opportunity for each one of us to build up team members, to encourage and strengthen our other members. We see this exactly reflected in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. There's that opportunity to build up others, right? I want you to look with me at some passages here in the book of Romans. Paul very much wanted to go and be with these brethren in Rome. And I understand he's not talking exclusively about gathering together to worship with them, but he very much wanted to go to Rome and be together with these brethren. Now, I want you to notice the reasons for that. Romans 1, beginning with verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. How about that? That we might be encouraged together to see the faith of one another. So there's a mutual encouragement that he sees in being with those brethren. Look also in Romans 15. Romans 15. Let's notice, first of all, verse 30. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. And then look down to verse 32. That I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. We have the opportunity to be refreshed together, to receive this mutual encouragement. I encourage you, you encourage me. And while we're on this particular point, I understand that I need to receive from others as well. Okay, we just got through talking about the mutual encouragement. But I'm going to have a much more satisfying experience within a local church if I think more in terms of what I need to give to others instead of what others owe to me. If I go into this thing constantly thinking about what others owe to me, you know what's going to generally happen, at least with some? We're never, ever going to be satisfied. Nobody's ever going to be able to do enough. Now, I understand needs arise, and I understand that brethren sometimes have been neglected, and that's not a good thing. But it would be better for us, or it would be good for us to remember the words that Paul quoted from Jesus in Acts 20 and verse 35. Very simple words, but powerful meaning. It is more blessed to what? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Perspective is so important. If I'm giving and giving and giving, that tends to come back upon me, okay? And I spend very little time about thinking about what I'm not getting. I spend very little time thinking about what I'm not getting if I'm giving all the time. And so perspective, and I think any time somebody becomes a member of any particular local church, they need to go into it with that sort of perspective. I think it winds up being a much more satisfying experience. But here's something else. Isolation from the team makes our love grow cold. I know you've probably seen and heard this illustration many times, but you see up there a pile of coals or a bed of coals. They're all just as hot as they can be, right? You see them glowing with heat. Now, if we were to rake one of those coals that you see up there over to the side, what's going to happen to it? It just eventually grows cold, does it not? It loses the warmth that is provided by the others. And so it begins to grow cold. But I don't think we need to stop the illustration at that point. What about the other coals? They're kind of dependent on this one for warmth as well, right? They say, well, there's still enough there, you know, to provide some heat, but some heat has been taken away, right? Some warmth has been taken away when you took this one away. So, not just looking at the one, but looking at all the rest too. This gets back to something we were emphasizing just a few minutes ago. Ephesians 4 and verse 16. The whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Now, there's a lot more that each one of us need to provide besides just being here. I understand that. Besides just coming together and worship. But that is oh so important that we all be together. The expectation for the Lord or of the Lord is expressed there in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 23. When the whole church comes together in one place. But then here's a final reason why it's so important that I need to be together with them when we are gathered together. And that is, I'm going to really miss some very important things. I'm going to miss some very important things. Let's think about some of those things for just a minute. First of all, I'm going to miss the togetherness the Lord longs to see in His people. The spiritual fellowship and activities designed to glorify His name and edify us all. I'm going to miss that. Is that good? Does that make me better? Or does that make me worse? To miss that. I may potentially miss a young Christian who gives his first talk, who waits on the table, or leads singing, or leads a prayer for the first time. Not only do I miss that, but I miss the opportunity to do what for that young man? I miss the opportunity to commend that young man. I could be encouraged by him, and he could be encouraged by me. And yet I was not there, and so I didn't get an opportunity to do that. I may, of course, potentially miss a baptism. And of course, if I missed that, I would miss the very enthusiastic singing which follows. Singing is typically as good as it ever gets after that, right? Or after somebody returns to the Lord. I'll miss the long line waiting after services to encourage this new Christian. Not only do I miss that long line, I miss getting to stand in that line with all of the others and get my opportunity to talk to that person. I miss the knowledge and wisdom gained from our studies together. I miss maybe learning something that someone else knows that I don't. You think that's a possibility that somebody here knows something right now from the Scriptures that you don't? Sure. You may have missed an opportunity to learn that. Or you may have just simply missed an opportunity to be reminded of some things that you've kind of forgotten. Does that happen when we're in Bible study sometimes, or you listen to a sermon, do you hear some things? Oh yeah, I'd kind of let that slip my mind. We missed opportunities like that. Missed an opportunity to encourage the non-Christians who visited. Fact of the matter is, they can show up on Sunday morning or Sunday night. We've had all along some come on Wednesday night. Wouldn't it have been great if we could have all been there to encourage them. Missed updates on the work of the church. Those may be given all along, right? Those could happen at any time. If you're part of a team, wouldn't you want to know how the team's doing? Or the different activities in which the team is involved? Wouldn't you want to know that? Wouldn't you want to have a really good knowledge of those sort of things? Missed updates on my brother. Needs that they have, which I could have filled if I had just been there and heard about it. It's kind of hard to know the things that are going on with our brethren if we don't hear these things being discussed. And I also may have missed seeing some people come in spite of great difficulty. Well, you talk about encouraging. There are people who come here pretty regularly who do not have very good health at all. I mean, it's a struggle for them to get up and to make the effort to come here. It's a whole lot more difficult for them than it is for the majority of us. Some have to travel a pretty good distance. I mean, I don't know if you realize it, but if you'll just go through the directory and check the addresses of some of the people here, they live a ways away. And that hasn't become a deterrent to them, and that encourages me. Well, how difficult it is at the end of a long work day on Wednesday to drive that 45 minutes over here and then the 45 minutes back. Stuff like that is very encouraging, isn't it? And you may have also seen some people who put aside some other very important activity because they deemed this one more important. I believe it was a couple of Wednesday nights ago. I don't remember exactly how long ago, but I believe Noah came in with his ball uniform on, his baseball uniform on. Now, I'd have to ask to be sure, but maybe the game was over and he just had to rush right on. But I have a feeling he had to leave early, did he, Chad? Okay. He left early. Okay. Hey, it's great that Noah's part of that baseball team. Nothing in the world wrong with that. Good activity. But he deemed this one more important, and that was encouraging to me. So I was encouraged by seeing Noah make that decision. Well, there's one other gathering together that we need to talk about, right? We've talked about the gathering together of all the saved in that one body. We've talked about us as a local church gathering together, but there's one other gathering together we need to be concerned about, right? 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him. How about that? Our gathering together to Him. So here's the question. Will we be gathered together with the other saints then if we're not gathering together with them now? In other words, it's hard to see the value of this future fellowship when we don't see the value of the present fellowship. Can we all agree on that? We want to be together with them now. We long for that fellowship. And we especially long for this fellowship we will have in that eternal day. Go ahead and get out your song books. We'll sing that song of invitation here in just a moment. If you are not a Christian, we would love to be able to persuade you this morning to do exactly that. The book of Acts records the preaching of the gospel throughout the known world at that time. The apostles preached a consistent message. They, of course, featured Jesus Christ in their preaching. For evidence of Jesus being the Son of God, they consistently preached the resurrection from the dead, to help people to understand that they could believe in Him and trust Him fully. And whenever the question was raised, what must I do to be saved? Their message was consistent. Believe that this Jesus is the Christ. Repent or turn from your sins. Confess your faith in Him and be buried with Him in baptism. Are you willing to do that this morning? Are you ready to do those things? Are you ready to return to the Lord if you've turned away as a child of God? If we can help you, let it be known as we stand and sing.